Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on what is going on in the life of our Charlestown Road church family, give you something to think about in the middle of the week, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you had a great sermon this past Sunday, and if people have not listened to that or watched that, I would certainly encourage them to do that, as you talked about discovering real treasure. But you and I both thought here on Tuesday afternoon that it might be worth talking about something else that would air first thing Wednesday morning.
Absolutely. Today's election day, and that is just occupying the internet, the local news, the national news. That's all there is today. And tomorrow, there might be a declared winner. We don't know. This could be tied up in courts for a long time, but sooner or later, there will be a declared winner. And we are just anticipating that it will be tomorrow. It's when it usually is announced. And with that comes highs and lows. There'll be some people who are very, very upset because the candidate they wanted did not win, and they'll be very upset. Others will be on top of the world because their candidate won. And it's beyond elections, and it's beyond the world of sports. We see this every time there's a national championship, or it's the World Series, or the Super Bowl, or the in football, as we think about the Super Bowl, there's always winners and losers. And those who win are very excited. Those who lose are very sad. But life itself can bring highs and lows. And what we want to look at today is, as a disciple of the Lord, how are we to handle the highs? How are we to handle the lows? Because that's what life is all about. And those are some of the things that we face all the time. And one of the things to me that's shocking and it's kind of discouraging as we head into this election today is that in major cities across this country, expensive stores are already putting up plywood in front of the windows, anticipating possible riots and windows being broken. That's just evidence of people not being able to know how to handle the highs and the lows. Nearly every year now, when a team wins the NBA or the Super Bowl and they have a celebration in the hometown, it turns to rioting and turning over cars and burning cars and just all kinds of lawlessness. Again, it's just illustrating that as a people, we need to learn how to handle highs and how to handle lows. And not only within ourselves, but how we treat others. So if I come out on the upside, how do I handle somebody who's on the downside? If I'm on the downside, how do I approach somebody who's on the upside? Now, we begin in the book of Romans in chapter 12. There in verse 15, the apostle says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." And to me, the common illustrations is a birthday party, how everyone's happy and smiling, it's easy to rejoice. The weeping comes to our minds, the funeral home, and how everyone's crying. But it doesn't have to go to those extremes as we think about the highs and the lows of life. And what we battle internally within us is if we are on the losing side of life, disappointments in life, how to keep from becoming bitter and envious toward others. But then on the upside, when we have been victorious and our side, our group, our team wins, how not to gloat, how not to rub it in people's faces, how not to look down upon others. And so those are the extremes. And I think what we're seeing in our society because of a lack of Jesus is we're seeing how terrible those things are handled. It needs to be handled better by the people of Christ.
Yeah. You and I both have, in recent weeks, maybe over the course of the last months, in our own ways, sometimes subtly, sometimes very straightforwardly, really encouraged thinking about our perspective as disciples of Jesus. And I think this is an excellent topic here in the middle of the week. Maybe you're listening to this first thing Wednesday morning, and we are still very much in the dark as to what the outcome of this election is. But however long it takes for this news to become clear, perspective is something that needs to be renewed for the disciple of Jesus every single day. If I'm going to handle the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows in a godly way, in a way that respects and encourages others, and maybe they see my good attitude, my good works, and hopefully come to give glory to my Father who is in heaven. That's primary to our mission. But if all of that is going to happen, number one, I've got to maintain my perspective, or to frame it in terms here at Charlestown Road throughout 2020, we've talked about seeing clearly. I need to make sure that my perspective remains focused on the fact my God reigns. It's when we lose sight of that as the people of God that we have a tendency to really make a mess of things. I think of the conclusion of the Old Testament book of Job, where terrible things obviously had happened, and we've got a couple dozen chapters worth of people talking about things they didn't really understand. And in Job 38, the Lord answers out of the whirlwind and says to Job, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Maybe a better way of paraphrasing that for us today would be, who is this that clouds the landscape or shades the perspective of himself and others by talking about things he doesn't really understand? And so, number one, I would just really encourage you, if you're listening to this first thing Wednesday or Wednesday afternoon, and you haven't prayed today, if you haven't done your Bible reading for the day, if you haven't been some sort of a deliberate encouragement to someone else today, turn the news off for a little while, log off of social media, and spend some time sharpening your perspective.
And behind all this, we need to remind ourselves that when we look at the characters we read about in the Bible, real people like you and I, people like Job, people like Joseph, people like Noah, people like Moses, David, their life was not a straight line.
No.
There was great mountaintop times. There were great valleys for them. And, you know, one person told me years ago, life was like a roller coaster. It's up and it's down. You have to keep your car on the track. That's the main thing. It always comes back to where you started if you keep it on the track. And so, because maybe today is a great day for me, I'm feeling really good. That's great. That doesn't mean God loves me more than he loved me yesterday, because yesterday I wasn't feeling really great. Maybe I have had some great disappointments in my life, and I feel like I'm in the valley of the shadow of death all the time. It does not mean that God has turned his back on me. God doesn't love me at all. We can walk through the lives of Joseph, alone in the prison, everyone turned against him, blamed for things he did not do, yet the Lord was with him. Look at Job, look at Noah. When you go through Hebrews 11, nearly every single name you read was some form of suffering and disappointments in their life. So that's going to happen to you. So that perspective, God's on the throne. God still loves you, even though others are rejoicing, I may not be rejoicing. Even though those may be on top of the world, I may be in the valley. God still loves me, and that is so important to remind ourselves of that.
Yeah. I would just add to that the way that some of those men and women that you referenced maintained their perspective. They had an anchor for their souls. And maybe drawing those two points out specifically, maintain your perspective. The Lord reigns, but also stay anchored. You referenced Hebrews 11. That makes me think of Hebrews chapter 6, the very end of that chapter, where the writer talks about holding fast to the hope that God sets before us. And for the Christian, we know what that is. He says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Jesus is our anchor. We must stay connected to him, which means if I treat anyone or anything as the steadfast anchor of my life, number one, that's what the Bible calls idolatry. And number two, I'm setting myself up for disappointment of all sorts of consequences, and I don't have anything to fall back on. There is no political candidate that can be the anchor of my soul. Now,
the reason for that is because they come and go. Yeah. They just come and go. And Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount by telling us a great story about the two men who built foundations.
Yeah.
One on a rock. That rock is Jesus, the other on the sand. And when the storms came, great disappointment for the man who built on the sand. I mean, he had a beachfront. He's right next to the ocean. But when that storm came, his house collapsed because he was anchored in nothing. And again, it is alarming to me to read on social media about this long list of Hollywood who's who claims they're going to leave the country if their candidate doesn't win. Well, you know, that's like the 3-year-old says, I'm going to take my ball and go home. If I don't get my way in life, I'm going to just leave. I'm going to quit. That's not what God wants his people to do. God needs us in our homes. God needs us in our churches. God needs us to be in this community. God needs us to stay here and get about doing what we're doing, whoever wins, whoever loses.
Yeah, you and I have seen that. You referenced sports earlier. I mean, I can think of specific men that I have been friends with in the past who, if their sports team lost, they would spend the rest of the day taking it out on their wife and their kids. And, you know, politics is not trivial. Okay, you go and you do what the rules and the laws of the country enable you to do. That's something that we ought to be incredibly thankful for as modern day Americans. But politics is not ultimate. There's nothing wrong with sports. We can learn a lot of great life lessons from sports, but sports are not ultimate. And if I cannot accept the highs and lows of my sports team losing, I need to seriously think about what my heart is really anchored to.
Absolutely. And again, as we've been trying to get across, we would love to say when you become a Christian, there'll never be a cloudy day in your life. Everything comes out just the way you want it, but that's not true.
Yeah.
And we've had a series of podcasts where we've talked about the Apostle Paul and his suffering and time again, all the things he endured. But he was steadfastly anchored in Jesus Christ. His perspective was heaven. He would say in the book of 2 Corinthians, we make it our ambition to please the Lord. And that will help us to consider the right concept with this.
Yeah, we've talked about maintaining perspective and staying anchored. But Roger, I think it would be really good to circle back around to where you first started, the importance of thinking about others.
Absolutely. And that takes me to Luke 18, right before Jesus tells us the parable of the two men who went up to the temple to pray. He said in verse 9, the kind of preceding that parable, he says, he also told this parable to some men who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, viewed others with contempt. They had a wrong view of self and a wrong view of others. And again, how you handle victories, how you handle defeats, says a lot about your character. How you treat others. You are the loser. How do you treat others? I have coached Little League for years and years, and I have seen kids just do mean things to other kids when the winner comes through and they're shaking their hands. You wouldn't believe all the things. And I wonder, where do they get these ideas? Probably from a dad at home and not being able to handle the losses of life. So part of this lesson we need to look at is, how do I treat others? The wrong way is to be arrogant if I win and to gloat and I'm better than you are because you're not. You're not. We're all made in the image of God. We're all God's creation. God expects all of us to follow him and to do what he wants us to do. And so we need, again, to keep that perspective, keep that anchor, and to think about others as the Lord would want us to.
Yeah, there are times, because we are human and we interact with other humans, that we're going to be disappointed, not simply in circumstances around us, but we're going to be disappointed in each other. Brethren, at times, disappoint each other. And it is in those instances that I've got a choice to make, right? Okay, so I'm on the losing side of something, and I see a brother or sister in Christ on the winning side of something. What am I going to do about that? Am I going to, well, just throw the friendship away? Or even in greater terms, am I going to use that as some sort of an excuse to sever fellowship? No. When we maintain our perspective and we remain anchored to Jesus and we think about treating others the way that we would want to be treated, even in my disappointment, that's an opportunity to push through that with my eyes on Jesus and endure that in a way that not only encourages the person, but glorifies Jesus. That's what we are called to do in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to set aside sin and weights that so easily entangle us. And a lot of the concerns that we are on our minds here in the middle of this week in the United States are things that can weigh us down. We're called to set those things in their proper perspective and fix our eyes on Jesus, not just when life is going the way that we want it to, but even in the valleys, maybe especially in the valleys.
Well, back to that Romans 12 passage, rejoice with those who rejoice. Paul didn't say, if you're feeling good, you're feeling happy today, you're rejoicing, go find someone else and rejoice with him. Now, here's a guy out here who's rejoicing. He's on the winning side of life. Maybe I'm not. So what am I supposed to do, rain on his parade? Kind of say, well, you know, kind of cut him down somehow, be jealous of him, be envious of him. No, the Bible says I am to rejoice with a guy that's rejoicing. And over here's a guy who's sad. He's weeping. Well, why am I supposed to tell him, get over it, tell him, have faith, walk it off? No, God tells me to weep with those who weep. So I'm looking both directions. I'm looking at those who are rejoicing. I'm looking at those who are not rejoicing. And to both of them, God's showing me obligation. And I think on this day, you're going to find that today. You're going to find some folks who are rejoicing. You're going to find some folks who are weeping. And my attitude, my character, my light is going to be shining brightly today if I follow Jesus.
Yeah, it's right there in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Each day has its own trouble, but each day also has its own mercies from God. You remember where God used Jeremiah in Lamentations 3 to say, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Again, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. We don't know what Wednesday morning or Thursday morning are going to look like exactly, but here's what we do know. The mercies of God are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. There's our anchor.
And we know, unless the Lord comes today, that would just take care of a lot of problems right there.
It would.
But we know that the sun rises tomorrow and we're given breath in our bodies, that God expects us to rise that day, glorify him, and to walk with him, to be his light, to be his fingers and his feet, to help others. It doesn't matter who wins or who loses tomorrow. It doesn't matter what the weather's like tomorrow. God expects these things of me, and the child of God looks beyond the present. He looks beyond this world. His eyes are heaven-bound, and he realizes how important that is. We kind of sometimes, I think, look at the Bible through American eyes, which we have. It's hard not to do that. But we got to realize that this was first written in the days of Caesars, and those folks didn't get a choice. Their ruler was there, and he was often assassinated, and another corrupt guy came in there. And we've gone through other world powers and monarchies and tyrants all through these centuries. And yet they've come, they've gone. Most of them are lost. Just a few are in the history books. But what remains is the Lord.
Yeah. All along, God has been big enough, great enough, knowledgeable enough, and powerful enough to accomplish his purposes. That has not changed today. And so our responsibility, our privilege as children of God is to choose joy, right? And in fact, we're going to be talking about that tonight.
Yes, we continue our series on choosing joy. We're walking through the book of Philippians. And this evening, we're going to be talking about Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 18. And in that, Paul talks about this crooked and twisted generation. Boy, what words fit our times today. And in the midst of that, there is joy in the midst of crookedness. And that's what we're going to be studying this evening. Love for you to come. We'll be meeting at 7 o'clock. Love for you to come to be with us. If you cannot, this will be live stream. And love for you to join us as we continue to learn and encourage and grow and become what God wants us to be.
I've got the privilege of preaching this coming Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., and I want to think through a passage in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 with you, where the writer says we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. We as human beings have a tendency to drift as individuals, maybe as families, even as congregations. And so I want to talk with you about drifting and ways maybe that we can subtly drift away from where God would have us to, why that matters, but how to avoid that drifting tendency. That's this Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. There are lots of opportunities over the course of the next few days to continue maintaining your perspective. Continue to stay anchored to Jesus. We appreciate you giving us the last 20 minutes or so, hopefully to encourage you on this Wednesday. Roger, any closing words?
Well, joy is a choice.
Yeah.
And no matter what the day brings, no matter what the weather is, you decide whether you'll be joyous or not.
We're thankful that Jesus has shown us the way. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We have much to be thankful for, much to look forward to this evening and this coming Sunday. We encourage you to keep growing, keep walking with Jesus, keep glorifying God right along with us. Thanks for listening.